my offering, my food for my offerings made by fire as a sweet aroma to me, you shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed time. And you shall say to them, this is the offering made by fire which you shall offer to the Lord. Two male lambs in their first year without blemish, day by day, as a regular burnt offering. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer in the evening. And 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering, mixed with 1/4 of a hin of pressed oil. It is a regular burnt offering which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And its drink offering shall be 1/4 of a hin for each lamb. In a holy place you shall pour out the drink to the Lord as an offering. The other lamb you shall offer in the evening as the morning grain offering, and its drink offering you shall offer it as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Now, there has been instruction given on sacrifices already. This is not entirely new, but we do have new direction specifically given here and some repeating of previous instruction. Notice God calls these sacrifices food in verse 2. My food for my offerings made by fire as a sweet aroma. John Calvin said, it's a hard expression. And the rudeness of his ancient people obliged him to speak thus grossly, that on the one hand they might learn this rite to be acceptable to God, just as food is acceptable to man, and on the other, that they might study to offer their sacrifices more purely and chastely. Not that God needs anything from us. In the pagan idea, the gods are needing something and we have to somehow appease the gods. But notice, God still does call this a food that he desires. It is, of course, you might say, the spirit and the attitude behind all of this that is most pleasing. And as these sacrifices, of course, point to Christ, they are most pleasing to God. The language of a sweet aroma, what does that remind you of? The Psalms, or what came to my mind was Noah. And after the flood, the language of a soothing aroma in Genesis 8:21. The Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. And in Leviticus 26:31, I will lay your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation, and I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. God's judgment would be, in some cases, to reject the attempted offerings. Verse 2 also says, you shall be careful. You shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed time. And this is a very common phrase found in the Pentateuch. And it has the idea, this is not about innovating or about your own creativity. It's about following what God has given you instruction to do. Don't try to come up with your own ideas. Be careful to offer to me exactly as I have instructed you. The daily sacrifice here, verses 1 through 8, we can say is the building block. The other sacrifices described here, take that daily sacrifice and multiply it or modify it in some way. This is kind of like the basic Lego piece that everything else is built upon, if we can use that illustration. What is the daily offering? Three parts to it. A lamb in the morning, and the evening. Isn't that interesting? Every single day, a lamb, morning, a lamb in the evening. With each lamb, then, there is the accompanying grain offering, that 2 quarts of fine flour as a grain offering, about 1 quart of pressed oil, and there is also a drink offering, verse 7, approximately 2 quarts of wine that is used. Well, 1/4 of a hin for each lamb, so 2 quarts of wine total, I should say. So 1 lamb in the morning, 1 lamb in the evening. This does go back to Exodus 29. You have reference to Sinai, and that's because this instruction has been given much earlier. Exodus 29, 38 through 43. Also, if you want to turn a few chapters earlier in Numbers to Numbers 15. Here in Numbers 15, laws of grain and drink offerings. And notice in verse 5, 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering you shall prepare with the burnt offering or the sacrifice for each lamb. 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering, and that is repeated here. Notice different animals required slightly different amounts of wine as a drink offering. Yes? 15:1? 15:5. If you turn to Leviticus chapter 1, Leviticus chapter 1, the first of the sacrifices described is what we translate either as the burnt offering or the ascension offering. The idea is total consumption of the animal as it is offered up to the Lord. Burnt has the idea everything is consumed, not just a portion. The word in Hebrew is olah, which has the idea of ascending. And so some commentators say, oh, we should call it this. Well, it's the total consumption of the sacrifice. One commentator says, the animal must be perfect and unblemished. Nothing is returned to the offerer, signifying God's complete ownership. Offerings are made publicly as expressions of faith and obedience by those who must be ritually pure before the presentation of the object, and blood, the symbol of life as the sacrifice, was poured out on the altar as a means of returning life to the giver of all life. We can say nothing is simple just in terms of, well, just do this and I'm happy. There's a very rich theology where these things are connected with other aspects. When you're studying the Pentateuch, there's lots of cross-references that you could use, both in the Pentateuch and then later in the prophets. So God is not just giving these bare rituals, but this is part of the rich theology he is giving to his people. And this is something you do see in the Psalms, the offering of worship in conjunction with the morning and the evening sacrifices. You see this in the New Testament when Zechariah is going into the temple and he's part of his duty there is preparing the morning or the evening sacrifice, and the people are gathered outside in the temple for a time of prayer. Jesus would have been placed on the cross perhaps at about the time of the morning sacrifice, and he dies about the time of the evening sacrifice. So there is much to foreshadow in terms of Christ and, as I say, a deep, deep connection that runs throughout the Old Testament scriptures. Any comments or questions? Ken? I don't, you know, that's a good question. I don't know if we're given an exact time for it in terms of like what hour of the day. I would suggest it's probably a little bit after sunrise, but I don't know if we're given exactly when. Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe I could. As far as I know, there's nothing that exactly lists it, but there were certainly the watchmen who waited for the morning. You find that in some of the Psalms. And so they were careful. Okay, this is now sunrise. And then sometime, we could say, probably after sunrise, the sacrifice is offered. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. The Sabbath day offerings. And on the Sabbath day, two lambs in their first year without blemish, and two-tenths of an ephah, a fine flour, as a grain offering, mixed with oil, with its drink offering. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath, besides the regular burnt offering with its drink offering. So the daily offering, that is offered every single day. Doesn't matter what else is taking place. On the Sabbath, then, there is addition. And notice the grain offering goes from one-tenth of an ephah now to two-tenths of an ephah, a little over a gallon of grain. The size of the oil and the drink offerings are not given here. I think we can assume they're the same to the daily sacrifice. This is the first time anywhere in Scripture you find this Sabbath offering. So even though the Sabbath has been around since creation, in terms of specific instruction on sacrifice, this is the first time that this is found in Scripture. So the daily, and then an extra lamb, but the doubling of the grain offering, mixed with the oil, mixed with its drink offering. Let's look at verses 11 through 15. At the beginning of your months, you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord, two young bulls, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year without blemish. Three-tenths of an ephah, a fine flour as a grain offering, mixed with oil. For each bull, two-tenths of an ephah, a fine flour as a grain offering, mixed with oil for the one ram. And one-tenth of an ephah, a fine flour, mixed with oil as a grain offering for each lamb, as a burnt offering of sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Their drink offering shall be half a hin of wine for a bull, one-third of hin of a hin for a ram, and one-fourth of a hin for a lamb. This is the burnt offering for each month throughout the months of the year. Also, one kid of the goats as a sin offering to the Lord shall be offered, besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. Israel used a lunar calendar, so you can measure the phases of the moon and know when a moon begins. So it's possible that you would have the daily, the Sabbath, and the new moon, the monthly, all offered on the same day. Just like a Sunday could be the first of the month, or it could be the seventh in a month in our calendar. From Numbers 10, turn back to Numbers 10. God gave instruction that two silver trumpets be hammered out. They're used for calling the congregation. But then look at verse 10. Also, in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. So the two silver trumpets announcing the new month, they are blown in a special way as these sacrifices are offered. So you have the daily offering. And then with the beginning of a new month, you have 11 more animals, if my count is correct. There are two young bulls. With those two young bulls, you would have about 6 quarts of grain offering, a gallon of wine, and a quart of pressed oil. For the ram, you have a little over 4 quarts of grain offering, 1/3 a gallon of wine, and 1 quart of pressed oil. For the 7 lambs, you're back to the 2 quarts of fine flour for the grain offering, 1 quart of wine, and 1 quart of pressed oil. And then there's one more animal, the kid that is offered as a sin offering. Kyle and Dalich write this: "This significance of the new moon sacrifice was still further intensified by the fact that during the presentation of the sacrifice, the priest sounded the silver trumpets in order that it might be to the congregation for a memorial before God. The trumpet blast was intended to bring before God the prayers of the congregation embodied in the sacrifice, that God might remember them in mercy, granting them the forgiveness of their sins and power for sanctification, and quickening them again in the fellowship of his saving grace." We also see, for example, if you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 20, and verses 5 and 6. "David said to Jonathan, 'Indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat. But let me go that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening. If your father misses me at all, then say, David earnestly asked permission of me that he might run over to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family.'" So along with God's prescribed instruction, this became a time of for special feasts and the like. Turn to Amos 8 and verse 5. Amos is right before Obadiah. Let's actually start in verse 4. Amos 8, verses 4 and 5. "Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, 'When will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit?'" It appeared that with the new moon is a restriction on some of the other normal activities, almost like it's another day of rest or worship. So again, you find how Scripture just builds on other portions of Scripture, many things we do understand and many things we don't fully understand. Let's go back to Numbers 28, and now we'll read verses 16. Yes. That's right.
But then there's the daily.
That's right.
If it falls on the Sabbath, you skip the daily and you go to the Sabbath.
Oh, no. The daily's always given.
It's always given.
These all add together.
So even on the Sabbath, it's a daily and the Sabbath.
Correct. That's right.
So this is all in addition to.
Exactly. Yeah, it all builds on top.
Is this each family?
No, I think this is the nation. Yes. No, that's right. They would not be able to. That's right. Yeah, this is for the nation. That's right.
And all this is stopped, right?
Of course, yes. Mm-hmm. Right. It ultimately is all fulfilled in Christ.
Right, but they don't recognize that. They just
correct. Let's look at Numbers 28:16 through 25. "On the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And on the 15th day of this month is the feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. On the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. And you shall present an offering made by fire as a burnt offering to the Lord, 2 young bulls one ram and seven lambs in their first year. Be sure they are without blemish. Their grain offering shall be a fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah. You shall offer for a bull and 2/10 for a ram. You shall offer 1/10 of an ephah for each of the seven lambs. Also, one goat as a sin offering to make atonement for you. You shall offer these besides the burnt offering of the morning, which is for a regular burnt offering. In this manner, you shall offer the food of the offering made by fire daily for 7 days as a sweet aroma to the Lord. It shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. And on the 7th day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. That's the end of that instruction. Well, obviously, Passover was established 40 years earlier. But here is new instruction in terms of special sacrifices. Notice Passover is actually two feasts joined together. Passover on the 14th day, and then for the next week is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So it becomes an 8-day celebration in total. Passover itself was more of a family celebration. You take the lamb, sufficient for your family. Maybe if your family's not large enough, you invite your neighbors over. So that's the family celebration. But then the 15th to the 21st, you can see it's different. There's a convocation now of the congregation, verse 18, on the first and on the 7th day, verse 25. That's now the Feast of Unleavened Bread, so the 15th and the 21st of the month. So this is a special celebration, and therefore there are these special sacrifices. Notice the sacrifices for each of the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread would mirror the monthly offering. So the daily, the Sabbath, but then the monthly offering, those two young bulls, one ram, seven lambs, in addition to a kid of the goats as a sin offering, that is done each day now of the Feast of Unleavened Bread from the 15th to the 21st. There is also the gathering together on the 15th and the 21st. So, in addition to the daily offerings, in addition to the Sabbath offerings, now you don't have the monthly offerings because Passover is on the 14th and then the 15th to the 21st, but again, you would have all of these sacrifices adding together. So, the priests, they have to keep special track of all of this. It ends up being a lot of animals, and this is one reason why this instruction perhaps was not given earlier, because they may not have been able to sustain the number of animals. Now, you could say God could have provided for his people, certainly, but again, we're now getting ready to enter into the promised land, and part of the promise is God will supply you that which you need to do this. If he calls you to obedience, he will supply that which is needed so that you can do what he has called you to do. Wenham writes this: the New Testament makes full use of the Passover imagery to explain the significance of our Lord's death. He called it his exodus that he was to accomplish at Jerusalem, Luke 9:31. John points out that, like the Passover lamb, none of his bones was broken. While Paul says Christians must be as ruthless in expelling sin from their lives as the Jews are in throwing out leaven prior to Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7 and 8. Well, there's one more sacrifice, or one more feast described here requiring sacrifice. That's the Feast of Weeks. Let's look at verses 26 through 31. Also, on the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to the Lord at your Feast of Weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. You shall present a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord, two young bulls, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year, with their grain offering, a fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for each bull, 2/10 for the one ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. Also, one kid of the goats to make atonement for you. Be sure they are without blemish. You shall present them with their drink offerings, besides the regular burnt offering with its grain offering. The Feast of Weeks is also then known as Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. This is just a one-day feast, not seven or eight as some of the others. It's a one-day feast, but notice in terms of sacrifice and in terms of assembly, it mirrors the Passover legislation. Turn back to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, this would have been given to the first generation as they're coming out of Egypt. And in verses 15 through 21, you have the instruction for the feasts. There's different instructions. Count 50 days after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. So there's part of Pentecost is you're offering the grain that you've just harvested now. The question, does Numbers 28 add to what is described in Leviticus 23? It would seem like it does. So you have the original instruction, the different things that are offered to the Lord, the wave loaves, and the lambs, the one young bull and two rams. It would seem this adds to that instruction. We're now approximately 40 years later. So you think of all the work, all the activity on these special days of worship and rest. And one of the points that's driven home, Israel can never come before the Lord just based on their own obedience. Worship always requires sacrifice. The ESV Study Bible had some good comments on this chapter. First, they show the importance of the sacrificial system. In the limited time before his death, Moses explains what sacrifices must be offered in public worship on behalf of the whole nation. These are over and above the private sacrifices that a layperson may want to bring for personal reasons. Second, they are a strong assurance to Joshua that the nation will indeed inherit the land and become a prosperous agricultural community. Able to provide for this lavish and expensive worship, it has been calculated that over the course of a year, these sacrifices, this would be chapters 28 and 29, would involve 113 bulls, 1,086 lambs, over a ton of flour, and 1,000 bottles of oil and wine. Finally, this list of sacrifices underlines the importance of the sabbatical principle. Every seventh day is a Sabbath, and marked by a doubling of the daily sacrifice, while the seventh month is marked by a huge number of extra sacrifices, especially during the Feast of Booths, or Tabernacles, which is clearly marked out as the biggest celebration of the year. Matt will lead us through that as we get to Numbers 29 next week, Lord willing. Let's close our time in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 10. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God." Previously saying, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Any final comments or questions? I don't think so. I think this has all been replaced by prayers, I believe. So there may be some breakaway groups, but I think mainstream Judaism, and this goes back almost 2,000 years, they determined with the temple gone, we must have a new approach. And I believe it was the law or prayer and their ceremonies that they would use as a replacement for these things. So that's my understanding.
Is it called Feast of Weeks, even though it's one day? Is it because of the 50 days?
That's correct. Okay. That's right.
Those are 70 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So Pentecost is a Greek word. So the Hebrew term would be the Feast of Weeks.
Kevin?
Yes, John. Yeah.
The body. So you're living it where it's done for once in a long time.
Yes.
And then treating it that way.
Yeah. Right? It is. So no, they carefully, or they would intentionally say, the sacrifice of the Mass is the continuation of the Old Testament sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they take that from Malachi, I believe. Mm-hmm. And
during COVID, they couldn't do any of that. And I don't know how they got around it, but they I've had
Zoom.
I've had family members that have said that, you know, we do a lot of the things that the Jews did, so we're kind of like the Jews. And I'm like, yes, you are.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let us pray. Father, we again thank you that we have been given this direction. It does help us appreciate that which you gave to your people. It directs us to consider how our Lord is the great fulfillment of all of this. It was not in vain they did these things, but they were to be directed to know that the great sacrifice one day would come. Heavenly Father, we pray that more and more Jews would have their eyes open to the truth. We pray that more and more of the Gentiles and others lost in ritual and the blindness of this age. We know that man is a great inventor of ceremonies to, in many cases, replace your truth. We have our own sacrifices, modern man, to institute, to replace and distract us from the truth. So thank you. Help us to focus on thus saith the Lord rather than the ideas of man. Be with us in our continued worship, we pray, asking all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.